searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
I want you to notice in our text, the Apostle Paul uses the word we. And again, we is specifically talking about people that are just. Young people, adults, fall under the category of we when you are just. A just person is someone who has given their life to Jesus, first through repentance, and repentance means to turn. That means you have turned from doing that which is wrong, and now you're practicing that which is right according to God's written and revealed word. Now you're just. Young people, the Bible teaches even further that we are made righteous or just because of the obedience of Jesus. Because he died for our sins, we can be righteous. We can be just. And if you're not just or born again, you need to take advantage of the time that you have and give your life to Jesus, because tomorrow, the Bible says, is not promised to anyone. It is appointed for everyone to die, and after that, judgment. And if you are found not living according to God's word and you're living in sin, even though you may be young, brought up in church, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And so you'll experience one aspect of death, eternal death. Woo, that's enough for me to get saved back when I was 19. When I learned about hell, I said, that is not for me. I know that I can't do everything, but Lord, you're going to have to help me to live this life. Because you paid the price. You went to hell for me, Jesus, so you don't want me to go. And so I accepted him. I'm just now. Anybody in here just now? Let me see those hands if I'm talking about you. So Paul is talking about us. We, just folk. The lifestyle, if you notice my notes, of a just person is and should be different from someone that is practicing sin. Now that you and I are just, there should be a notable difference in our lifestyle. Paul said, behold, if any man or if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. Is it a process? Yes. But there should be a difference in my lifestyle now that I'm just. My peers may smoke weed, but I'm just now. I don't do that. My peers may vape, but I don't do that. I'm just now. My peers may be in the porn, but I'm just now. I'm not in the porn. My peers may be to the point to where they are disrespectful to their parents, but I'm just now. I obey them. I fear my parents. I respect my parents that are in the Lord. Y'all too quiet. How many understand? It should be a notable difference. You used to be an in-school suspension all the time. Now you just. That should be in the past. Parents used to have to beg you to keep stuff clean. No, you just now. You striving to be holy, so you keep stuff clean. a noticeable difference if you're naming the name of Christ. Cannot be the same. Paul said there, what fellowship, or there is a difference between light and dark. Look at somebody and say, there should be a difference. That's right. If you was always mean before Christ, you shouldn't be mean now. You didn't speak to folk before Jesus. No, you should speak to folk now. Why? You should have love one toward another. Well, I'm trying to social distance. Well, throw up a deuce or something. Speak to your brother. Speak to your sister. Why? There should be a noticeable difference now that we're just. And that is one thing the Lord wants to drive home to trendsetters this year. Some of us got to tighten up in our lifestyle. There needs to be a noticeable difference. You saved now, young man, in Christ. You not thug. You ain't from the streets. You ain't from the, pull your britches up. You ain't no player. You ain't even got one girlfriend. How you a player? It should be a noticeable difference. Noticeable difference. You Christian now. But that's a little tough. Yes, it's going to be challenging. Why? The way that God has prescribed us to go down, it's a narrow way. But see, the broad way, everybody going that way. But God's folk, we have to go down a way that's a little tight. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And it's going to be challenging to the flesh. But we got to keep in mind, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him daily. It's going to be things I want to do that I don't need to do, that my God doesn't want me to do. Why? I'm just now. Oh, we're going to be getting this all year. All year. All year. And it's going to help us if you are listening closely to Minister Sarita during the offering. It's a setup. If we walk uprightly, God not going to withhold any good thing. So it's a payoff. How many understand? It's a payoff. So that means we got to tighten up our lifestyle in areas that need adjustment. Let's go ahead and take a quick poll. How many got tightened up some areas of your lifestyle? Just come on and just let's put all our cards on the table. All right? All right. So don't give a preacher a hard time for giving you the truth this morning, okay? All right, let's look at some truths about being just. Let's look at a few truths. I just want to look at a few because, again, Paul is specific. We, just folk. So let's look at what the Holy Spirit wants us to know about being righteous, just, Christian, and so forth. Let's start with Genesis 6 and 9. Now, if you've been in church for 10 minutes, you ought to know where the book of Genesis is at. Right? Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis actually means beginning. Okay? So let's go to Genesis 6, to the beginning. And let's look at chapter 6. And verse number 9. Y'all ready? This is the genealogy of Noah. Or this is the origin, the beginnings of Noah. Look what it says. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. He was mature in his life, and he walked with God. What do I want us to learn from this verse about being just? Just people have a solid relationship with God. He was just, but he walked with God. Noah was a righteous man. He had a solid relationship. As a young woman, young man, young adult, even a parent, we likewise, if we are just, should have not an up and down relationship, not a lukewarm relationship. We need to have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice my notes. We must be accountable and maintain a solid relationship with God in our personal life and family. The individual person, you have to be responsible for maintaining a productive relationship with your God. Now, your parents are going to train you, but it's up to you to make sure you can get a prayer through. Make sure you are familiar with his word. You and I, if we're going to truly walk with God, we got to have a solid relationship. And you single, so you got plenty of time. If you got time to be on social media, you got time to maintain a solid relationship with God. You got time to go to practice. You got time to have a solid relationship with God. You got time to go to the movies. You got time to stay up late. Isn't it amazing how we got time to do everything? But young folk, you and I, we have to make time for God in our life. Jesus taught his folk, look, he needs to be first. First, his kingdom, his righteousness need to be number one. And if you have a family, you got to make sure that your family has a relationship with God. As parents, especially Christian parents, you have to be an overseer of your children. You got to make sure, hey, you praying? You praying? I be watching my sons, well, at least both of them when they used to live with me. We sit down and eat, they hungry. I be like, why you ain't bless your food? You know, give God thanks, the Bible says, in all things. Then sometime I'll be like, hey, I want you to lead prayer. I want to see how they pray. If they talking about some, in Jesus' name, amen. No, you ain't praying. You ain't got no prayer life. Especially if you have been taught. Give me your phone. Let me see what you listening to. Let me see if you listening to something that's demonic or biblical. Let me see your phone. You can go on the YouTube app and they got a history button. Let me see what kind of videos you've been watching. Let me see what you've been putting on the inside of you, because that's going to let me know if you truly saved. Because a good tree can't have bad fruit. And a bad fruit can't have good fruit. So whatever you're putting in, the Bible teaches that's what's going to mess you up. If you're putting good things in, then we're going to see good fruit. If you're putting corrupt things in, we're going to see. You ain't really saved. You just go to church, but you ain't living it. You have to have and maintain a personal relationship with God. If you are a young couple and you are married, as the husband, you need to make sure you praying, and you need to be making sure that your spouse is praying. Then you got to turn around and teach your children how to pray. If it ain't nothing but get down on your knees and do this right here. Let me see you get down on your knees and bow your head. Bow your head. Bow your head. That's how you start them out. You see kids come to church. They being taught. Come to the altar. Kid come to the altar. And they just bow their head. Now, they may not be saying nothing, but they being trained to reverence God. Now, kids going to be kids, right? But it's just certain things you got to teach a child. And as the father of a house, you got to understand being married is more than just sex. You hear First Lady, show now. Now, sex is a good part of marriage because God ordained it to be there. But it's not the cure-all. Woo, look at somebody and say, sex is a good thing, but it's not everything. Yeah, so young couples, listen, marriage is honorable before the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And the bed is undefiled. So sex plays a good part, but you have to make sure that you keep God at the front of your young marriage. You got to make sure, young people, young couples, you got to make sure that everybody is walking by faith in the family. As a single person in high school, college, a graduate, or what have you, you need to have your life together, and then anybody you let into your close space, you need to make sure they have their life together. Because if you infatuated or moved by good looks, that person can get you off course. Because you getting caught up. We used to say your nose wide open. Woo, you're wide open since you done got with that young brother or that young sister. Now you ain't praying. Now your mind ain't where it need to be. All these emotions. But see, you got to know what Paul said to the Thessalonica church. You got to know how to possess your own body. You're going to have feelings. You're going to be attracted to folk. But you got to know how to put your body under subjection and keep God first. Even when you attracted to somebody. And sometimes it's just about companionship, young folk. It ain't like you thinking about marrying a person. You just want to be with somebody. You want companionship. But you better make sure you got a good relationship with God. Because if not, some of you need to understand relationships come with a whole bunch of baggage. I said relationships come with a whole bunch of baggage. And so you have to be mature in mind. Y'all listen to me on this. Do you know that studies show that the average person's brain is not developed fully until they're 25? 25. And you can give or take some years around that. And we're talking naturally speak. So imagine all the way to 25 if you're not keeping God first. Imagine if you keep watching things, listening to music that corrupts you. Imagine how jacked up and confused you'll be. But if you start getting that word and God's ways in you at a young age, you'll mature before your age. You'll hear people say, yeah, she young, but she got an old soul. Or he or she is just to the point to where they're maturing. You see what the Bible says about Noah? He was perfect in his generation. You can be 16, but be about the Father's business. 21, 22, and you ain't about that dumb stuff. Well, how do you get there? You have to have a solid relationship with God. And I'm telling you, I'm not just teaching it or preaching it. I had to get to that point. 19, 20 years old, I said, Lord, I'm just done with girls. I said, Lord, I'm not gay. I said, I like women. I said, but it's just too much. I get off course. I said, the next time I start, it's going to be because I'm ready to get married. Now, this is my personal testimony. And I know I had it going on and still do when I was 19 and 20. But I was blocking. I was like, no, I ain't going there with you. Bam, bam. I was just blocking. And I had one particular young lady. She told me, I can't deal with you. Woo, I thought I was a player. But anyway, I wasn't ready. I had to get myself together first. Look at somebody and say, if you're just, you got to have a solid relationship. Say that. Say, you got to have a solid relationship with your God. Look at how Noah moved. Y'all still with me? All right, let's go to Hebrews. Matter of fact, y'all just read it right here. Hebrews 7, 11 and 7. Look at how he moved. But by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, look at this, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and being heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So in other words, Noah heard the word from God and moved on it. What he heard, he put into action. And the Bible says that's faith. And that's how you and I need to be when it comes to our relationship with God. We hear the word and we move and start putting it into action. So on this first point, if you're serious about maturing in God, you're going to hear what's being said today. You take your note, and then you're striving to put it into action. You're moving like Noah. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, right after the book of Proverbs. Okay, Ecclesiastes. Y'all still with me? All right, so to just have a solid relationship, Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Woo! Just people sin. We don't practice sin, but in this walk, young folk, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. God is not requiring perfection. But he does want us to strive to do what he commands. And understand, you're going to mess up. I said, you're going to mess up. And parents, we got to understand, no matter how wonderful our young children are, young adults, they're going to mess up. Don't ever think your child is just this perfect little angel that make A's and B's. No, they doing some stuff sometimes. Not only you don't know about, you don't want to know about. Yeah. You don't want to know about because you're going to start looking at them like, oh, I'm just so heartbroken. No, understand. They're going to mess up. They're going to mess up. We're going to mess up from time to time. Understand something, young couples. Your spouse is going to mess up sometime. Okay? Your spouse is going to make mistakes. Okay? But understand, that don't mean they ain't trying to do what's right. Woo! How many done messed up, man? We 2 days in to 2020. How many done already made some sin mistakes this year? Already. Whether it been in how you was thinking, talking or acting. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, we done messed up. The key, young folk, just don't stay there. Just pass by. Just drive by. All right? Just look. Oh, Lord. And keep going. Don't start practicing sin. That's when you mess up. Right? All right. Now look at somebody and say, that's some good teaching. I know two sisters. 2 Samuel 12:13 is a good example of someone who was just, but they sinned big time. David. David was the one who defeated Goliath. He was an anointed songwriter and musician. He was so anointed when he played instruments, demons would just leave folk. He was the king of Israel. I mean, he had it going on. But even David, a man after God's own heart, from time to time, he sinned. He killed this man's husband and slept with her. Yeah, and got her pregnant. Yeah, he killed a man's wife. Did I not say that right? Y'all stay with me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, I mess up from time to time. Y'all just look like, Pastor, you can't teach it. Come on now. He got with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and he messed up. Got her pregnant. Look at this. Then God sent a prophet to him by the name of Nathan and told him, what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. Now, you the king, but you were wrong for what you did. God does things the same way. Nathan wasn't there when he did it, but God revealed to him it was some sin in his life. And so what he did was he used his prophet to give him a message to say, basically, tighten up. And God does the same thing. I'm not with you all the time, but I know it's messages that God give me. I'd be like, good God, it's for somebody. And that's God using the pastor to give you the message, tighten up. See, understand about sin, young folk, before I go on. Sin, the Bible says, will find you out. You can do it for a while and seemingly be getting away with it. But it's going to birth death. It's going to birth death according to James. So whenever God sent a word to repent, do it, he said in the book of Revelation. Repent quickly. All right? But I want you to understand, God knows that we're not perfect. All right? Let's go to Ezekiel. We're looking at traits of just folk. Paul said we, so he's talking about just folk. Ezekiel is a prophet. 18:5. So just folk have a solid relationship. Sometimes just folk sin. Now look at this. Ezekiel, young folk, 18:5. But if a man is just, oh, let's try that again. But if a man or woman is just and does what is lawful and right. This is what I want you to understand about just folk. We do what is biblically and morally right. We do what's biblically and morally right. Can I break it down? I said, can I break it down? If, as an example, your spouse done worked 10 hours and you've been at home while your spouse has been at work. See, she already know where I'm going. It's only right that you at least clean the kitchen, wash the clothes, and somebody throwing in at least cook something. That's only what? That's only right. That's only right. If your parents paying your cell phone bill, you got food on the table, clothes on your front and back, you drive they car, they paying your insurance, it's only right that you make good grades. It's only right. It's only right that you clean that ring around the toilet. It's only right. That's your dirt in the bathtub. It's only right that you wash your own clothes. Wash your own drawers. It's only right. It's only right that you say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Look at somebody say, it's only right. It's only right. Now, you saved now, but you want her to clean up after you. You want daddy to do this for you. No, then it's only right that you bring something to the table. Bring something to the table. Now, if we're going to exchange gifts for birthdays because we're in a relationship, and your birthday first, and I get you a $100 gift, when my birthday come, I don't know what you're going to get, but it's only right that it at least be $100. Woo! Look at somebody say it's only right. Now, I done spent $100 on you. And my birthday 4 months down the line, and you come in here with a $20 gift, at least have five $20 gifts. Let it add up. Look at somebody say it's only right. But you'd be surprised of young people in this generation that name the name of Jesus that don't even know how to do right. Now, God done blessed you. You were sick in your body. He healed you. It's only right you come to church and praise him. But you won't even do that. You won't do that. Now, he give you strength in your body, and you making all these TikTok videos, but you come in God's house, and you won't even get involved or give him the praise. That ain't right. Look at somebody say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. Now, your parent trusts you with the key to the car, trusts you with the key to the house, and you sneaking out and sneaking folk in when they ain't there. Look at somebody say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. I'm paying for the bill, and you watching porno? You watching porno? You watching butt-naked people on the phone that your parents paying for. Look at somebody say, that ain't right. Right, watching pro note. See, when you just young folk, you gonna do what's biblically and morally right. God bless you with $300 and you got $30 to give, but you bring five? That ain't right. Boy, I could go on with this point, but look at somebody and say, do right. Do right. The Bible is so specific about a king named Asa. The Bible says that he did what was right in the Lord's sight. And young folk, on a day-to-day, on your day-to-day journey, you're going to have the opportunity to do wrong and right. When your parents drop you off at school, work, do right. Don't make your parents look bad and don't make yourself look bad. Go to the schoolhouse, as they say. and don't act a plum fool. Do right. Do right. Don't be one way at home and then another way in the street. Do right. Do right. And so in our text, as we go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. He wants us to understand God is requiring us to walk by faith. Faith in God is the specific lifestyle of the just. This is how God expects us to live, young folk. Not like a sinner, but as a child of God. I got to read this to you. Y'all go to Galatians. I want you to bookmark this on your app or highlight it in your Bible, if you got a Bible. And let me say this. Make sure you got paper Bible. Okay? Even if you like using the app, young folk, I just believe it's going to come a day and time where we see what they were doing in the Acts, where they were burning the Holy Scripture. I believe it's going to come a time they're going to try to get rid of this written word. And the internet can change stuff. So you don't want to be dependent on a digital copy of the word. Get you a paper copy. All right? That's just my opinion. And I believe everyone should have a copy of God's word. Okay? Let's look at Galatians 2 and 20. Read along. I have been crucified with who? Christ. Okay, this is the English version, okay? This ain't the Spanish version. Let's try it again. I have been crucified with? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, that book talking. That's a good point. Now the life that I live needs to be by faith. I need to live God's written and revealed word. Down to my sexuality, I need to, even my sex life needs to be according to the word. Even if you ain't having sex, you still, as a young woman, need to have a desire for a man. Woo! Ain't having it, but you need to be having a desire for who God said your desire should be for. The life we live now, young folk, needs to be in Christ by faith. And he tells us plainly, walk by faith and not by sight. Coming to a conclusion. Y'all still with me? Sight is wonderful, but sight, young folk, is not what we should live by. Sight has to do with our senses, the reports and traditions of men. When a person is living by sight, the Bible says that that person is carnal. If I'm living by the news and not by God's written and revealed word, I'm not living by faith. If I'm more into social media than I am into the will of God, I'm not living by faith. If I'm more attracted and I find more appeal in sinners that rap, then me giving God glory, I'm not living by faith. Look at somebody say, it's tight, but it's right. Yeah. I need to live not by what's popular or what the crowd is doing, but I need to be into what God wants me to do. And God wants me to concentrate on walking by faith and not by sight. Look at Romans 8. A lot of scriptures this morning, but they're helpful. All right, Romans 8 and 7. Why don't I need to walk by sight or be carnal as a parent, young adult, or young person? Romans 8, gonna break it on down. Romans 8 and 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So if I'm walking by sight, I'm against God. Woo, y'all see that? As a child of God, if I'm living by the standards of the world, God is against me. Because he told me as a young person to live by faith. That's why when they told Daniel as a young person, you're not to pray, he didn't live by that. The Bible says he went to his room as he did as a child and prayed 3 times a day, even though they signed a law saying not to seek any God. He said, I got to. I don't live by what y'all say. I live by faith. And that's how we have to be, young folk. Regardless of what your peers are doing, if they're not doing the will of God, you don't have a lifestyle like them. You ain't heard that new mixtape. You ain't hear such and such. No, I don't live by that. That ain't got nothing to do with God. Now, you may watch certain programs, but you don't apply what they're teaching you in the program. You may watch certain things and find it entertaining, even if your parents allow you to watch certain things, but you have to realize that is not how God wants me to live. You may be entertained by Tariq, but you don't live like Tariq. Tariq. Yeah, somebody on a show that many young folk watch called Power. Yeah, you don't live like Tariq on Power. No, you may be entertained by it if you choose to watch it, but you don't live like that. You may watch videos, you may see some things on social media, but you don't apply that to your own life. See, this is where it gets a little touchy. I said, this is where it gets a little touchy. But when we are in Christ, we need to live or resemble that. Am I right about it? We walk by faith. Tell somebody, we walk by faith. Faith, again, since y'all was stuttering with the definition at the beginning of service, faith is when we think, talk, and do the word. What is faith? Let's hear it. It's when we... Now, that's about 10 of y'all. What about the rest of y'all? Let's say it together. What is faith? Faith is when we... That's it. The written and the revealed. We got to put some respect on God. All right? Let's not just come to church. If the preacher just say, look, let's repeat. Come on, let's put some respect on it and let's repeat. Just don't sit there. Come on and get involved. What is faith? You should see it in your pastor. And as you see your pastor do it, the Bible teaches you imitate that. Now, you may not have my style. You're not going to be me. It's only one me. But when you see me living by faith, you imitate that and you live by faith. I watch my pastor live by faith and I imitate that. And that's 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Are y'all with me? We have to think faith, talk faith, and do faith. In my close, let's look at what the Bible says, some things about faith, and then we're going to be done. All right? Let's start in Romans 10, 17. I got a good audience this morning. All right, we're coming to a close. Romans 10, 17. I'm going to give y'all one chance to read it right. Okay? Y'all read it? All right, let's try it. So then, comes by and hearing by the word of God. So this is how we get faith. We need to hear the word of God from a legitimate preacher. Verse 14 talks about the type of preacher. It needs to be someone that's sent from God, someone that's anointed to feed God's people. Young folk, we got to make sure we hearing God's word consistently. We got to be intently and purposefully listening. I don't want you to just come here and just listen, but man, that was a good teacher. No, you got to be purposeful with that word. When you hear it, something in that message you need to take with you and apply to your life. As a young man or as a young woman. When the preacher get up to receive the offering, you need to be listening because faith is coming forward and put in action what they're teaching concerning money. You have to listen intently. And sometimes you're not going to get everything you need. You have to go back and listen to the message again. I listened to, let me just say it like this. When I first got saved, I understood the power of hearing the word. When I came to the church, I was like 19 going on 20. And when I found the church, I said, man, this is some teaching I have never heard before. And back then, when I got here in the early 90s, we had tapes. Do y'all know what tapes are? Cassette tapes. Man, and I used to go to the media ministry, and I'd be like, look, I'm a college student. Can I get some of these old messages? Just let me have access to them. And I would take them, and I'd be walking around the campus just listening to teaching, getting it in me. I had put away the music I used to listen to, and I started replacing it with the word. And I just started getting that doctrine, getting that teaching in me. As the years went on, we went to CDs. I would do the same thing. Pastor would go on the road to different churches and minister, and I'd be right there just eating the word up. Messed around, got married, started having kids. I remember following pastor all around the state with my son. Following him around, messed around, had a second kid. My wife was tripping, had more kids. And I had both of them. Didn't even have no car at one time, but I would get on the church van. We had one car in the house, so I would have to ride the church van. And thank God for the mothers of the house. Man, they used to help me with them kids, and pastor would just be teaching. He would be preaching. I'd be right there eating it up. And see, that stuck with me. Even now, I'm listening to messages online, just getting his messages in me. I mean, even last night, I drank some tea and I was up to 2:30, couldn't go to sleep. And I was in there just listening to the message. I think I listened to it 2.5 times. 2.5 times, and just listening. God, what are you saying to me that I need to be doing? What is it I need to be doing? And I would be listening intently and with purpose. And soon as I picked up what the Spirit was saying to me, I write it down and I start putting it into action. See, understand something, young folk. God just don't send a word just to send it. He's going to send a message, and it's going to have steps in it. It's going to have steps in it to help you in your personal life, your family, and in your marriage. All you and I have to do is be listening to the Spirit, pick up on what's being said, and put it into action. That's all you have to do. And the thing about God, the message may be 50 minutes, but it may be 10 seconds of that message. That was your rhema word. It may be 20 minutes of that message that you needed. But it's going to be something in that word that you need to be listening intently for. That's how God wants us to be. Understand, faith is going to come. So every time the church is available and the shepherd is going to be coming forth, young folk need to be in there. You better have something for me. I ain't wasting my time. I'm here listening intently. And I got purpose. I'm going to put into action what I heard. That's how we live, young folk. That's how God has ordained it to be. He never ordained for us to live by TikTok. He never ordained for us to live by YouTube, Twitter, and Snapchat. He did not. That's not how we are supposed to live our life. You don't supposed to keep up with what's going on the ground. You don't compare your life to what's going on Instagram. No, the Bible says that his word is like a mirror. When the word comes forth, that's where you have to look at your life and see, oh, that's where I need to change. Oh, that's where I'm lacking. This is what God wants me to do. But whenever you're to the point to where you're more into what the world has to offer, young folk, you're not taking heed to the faith that's coming. Because I'm telling you, the world going to try to feed you with some things. And they are successful at it. If the truth be told, I said they are successful at it. And as a young person, you have to be to the point to where you realize enough is enough. If I keep eating this junk food from the world, I'm not going to be who God wants me to be. And so when faith comes for that little 45, 50 minutes when I'm at church, I don't need to be saying my attention span is too small, because you can go see a Marvel movie for 3 hours. You be holding your pee. You be, I don't want to miss it. You be sitting there just holding it. If you can sit in a Marvel movie, when faith is coming for, you can receive that. You can pay attention. It's no excuse for you to leave here and somebody asks, what did you learn? And you to the point where you like, when we have group discussion, if I call your name out, you are getting taught thoroughly enough to where you should be able to give an answer. If you paying attention. If you paying attention. But when we get to you and all eyes are on you and you talking about something, I don't know. You weren't really listening the way you should. Because for 45 minutes, you should be getting at least one thing. One thing. Yeah, I'm talking about you. At least one thing. Something should be deposited in you within that time period if you for real. If you for real. Look at somebody and say, he right about it. So you got to be listening intently. Even if it ain't nothing but the message that really dealt with you. Leave with something. James 1:21. So the first thing we need to understand, young folk, faith gonna come, but we gotta be purposed in listening to it. We gotta be serious about it. You sleepy, walk around. Ain't nobody gonna say nothing. Look, get up and walk. Stand up and stretch. If you need to, that's fine. But you need to have the mindset, I need that word. I gotta have that word. James 1:21. Therefore, oh Lord, this is gonna get a little touchy before we close. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your soul. So now I'm listening with purpose. But now he's saying, I got to let the word take root in me. Okay? I got to let the word become a part of me. It's just like a young person that listened to a song. You let the beat become a part of you. Then you let them lyrics become a part of you. 63rd, I was on the 63rd. I was, you letting it get in you. So much so to where you'll learn a dance to go with it. It's getting in you. But look at the text. In order for the word to get in us, young folk, it's certain things we got to lay. You got to lay aside. Certain things you got to lay aside in order to let the word get in you. What is it in your life that you have to lay aside so the word can get in you? For some young people, they think too highly of themselves. Some young folk, you think too much of yourself. You good folk, but you ain't all that. And you need to have high self-esteem, right? But don't ever try to put yourself higher than the will of God. I'm too cool to do that right there. Is something wrong with you? Who thinks like that? A prideful person. I'm too cute to do that. Who is that cute? Who is that cute to where you too cute to obey God? Now, I want to see. If you that cute, let me know. I need to see that level of cuteness. Where is that level of fineness? Well, I want to see it. Yeah. I'm praying when I get to heaven, I just tell the Lord, I want to see Bathsheba. I do. I want to see her, Lord. Where's she at? What kind of woman got David all messed up like that? I want to see that. Where's she at? Where Abigail at? I want to see her. Yeah. Where Abishag and these other fine? Well, I want to see it, Lord. But don't ever think of yourself that highly when it comes to God. Somebody cute come to church. Now all of a sudden you woo! Girl, there go a new one right there. No, you don't. You don't do stuff like that. You don't do stuff like that. What do you have to lay aside? Is it somebody at your own church that you don't like? You got to lay that aside. Lay that aside. How you go to the same church and don't love your brother or sister? Who do that? You don't do that. Lay that aside. Is it somebody you mad at right now? You waiting till service over with so you can give them a piece of your mind? Look, lay that aside and look at yourself. Allow that word, young folk, to get in you. Woo, look at somebody say, let it get in you. All right. The word of faith must be received and rooted. The word will only take root and grow on what type ground? Good ground. So we got to be good ground. We got to be good ground. Look at somebody say, I got to be good ground. All right. So when it comes to faith, faith going to come by hearing and hearing the word of God. When that word comes, we need to receive it and let it take root. That's when the change going to happen. That's when the change going to happen. Last thing about faith, we got to walk it out. Look at somebody say, walk it out. All right, walk it out. Walk it out. Not like the Migos, no, but like James said, walk it out. We're going to look at James 2:17. James 2:17. Look at somebody say, you got to walk your faith out. Yeah, walk your faith out. James 2:17-18. Thus also faith by itself does not have works. If it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So if a person really has faith, we're going to see some action. If you really serious about having a solid relationship with God, when you leave here, you're going to start putting certain things in action. If your child is telling you they serious about changing, just sit back and watch them and see if they meant what they said. Because if they did, it's going to be some action behind it. But if they ain't doing nothing and a week done went by, you got to pray for them. And then meet with them and say, hey, now you said last week you were going to do such and such. What's up with that? Well, you know. No, I don't know. And you don't know either. Because if you meant what you said, you're going to be putting some works behind it. Listen. Listen to me real good, young brothers that's married. If you tell your wife you're going to do something, she's going to be like a hawkeye. She's going to be looking. She's going to want to know if you're going to do what you say. You tell her you're going to take her on vacation, she's going to be counting the days. When we going on that trip? You know, especially the sisters, they be like, well, you said. Woo, you said it was going to be some changes around here. You said you were going to help me with this boy. That's what you said. So put some action behind. That means you're going to have to change so the house can be more productive. But can we flip it from the husband to the wife? She got to change too. If he keep telling you that you nag too much and you saying you're going to stop nagging, every time y'all get in an argument, he going to be like, let me see if she's going to just keep on. Woo! You see how my amens from the sisters fell off, brothers?
Y'all see that? Y'all got to pick up on stuff like that. Because it's just some women, they got to have the first, the middle, and the last word. You be like, I thought that was dealt with 2 weeks ago. Why are you bringing up that stuff? Quit nagging me. This go back to the Bible day. Solomon said it's better for a man to go live on a roof than with a woman that got a mouth that just dripped like a faucet. So if your husband say, baby, I heard you and I'm doing what you said, leave it, sister. Just work on it. Because he going to be looking too. But pastor going to be looking. Pastor, preach a message, you best believe a real pastor going to be looking to see who took heed. Going to be looking. But you need to be looking at the pastor too, right? When the Lord used the pastor to give a word, you need to be looking. Is pastor doing that? Is pastor living by faith? How many know we need to do stuff like that? Yeah. That's called being from Missouri. The show me state. Now, I was literally born in Missouri. So when I say I'm from Missouri, I'm telling the truth. I was born in Missouri. So if you tell me something, I'm looking like God, looking for some action. And you should be the same way in your personal life. Right? The new year has come. Write down your goals, things you want to accomplish. But you need to be putting some action with it. If you're saying you're going to have $5,000 this year, don't just say it. Put some action with it. If you're saying you're going to lose weight this year, put some action with it. Don't do no resolution. No, do what the Bible say. Write the vision down. Make it plain. So when you read it, you can run with it. Then he says, because the just live by faith. Boy, y'all ought to help me conclude. Look at somebody and say, doggone it. That's some good teach. That's some good teach. Woo, y'all ought to just look at somebody and say, man, that's some good teaching right there. That's some good teaching right there. But the teaching ain't going to work if we don't put no action with it. How many understand from this teaching this morning we need to walk by faith? Not only we need to walk by faith, but how to walk by faith. How do we walk by faith? Faith comes by hearing. But once we hear it, we need to let the word take root. Then we need to put it in the way. Put it in. That's what you call, young folk, living by faith. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap for the text.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.